Good to see you here this morning. I want to remind you that tonight, we will not, even though it is the first Sunday of the month, we will not be having our regular singing service, but instead we will be continuing and finishing up our lessons on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Tonight, our topic will be looking at just a couple of questions that are still out there in regard to the subject after we've looked at Matthew 19. Looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 last week, and we'll ask the question tonight, are all men amenable to the law of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, both non-Christian and Christian? That'll be one question that we'll answer tonight. Another question is, can adultery simply be considered covenant-breaking, as some have tried to propose in recent years? And so, we will look at those questions this evening, finish that up, and our monthly singing and prayer service will be next Sunday night. This morning, we continue in our series. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We continue in our series, What Would Jesus Preach? As we look at the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Jesus finished chapter 5, as we discussed last week, teaching us that we need to fix our hearts. We need to fix our hearts in order to fix our actions, that truly Christianity and the disciples of Jesus are disciples of His from the heart out. That we have the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ within us, and that makes the actions that come forth from our lives to be those things that would be pleasing to Him. Now He's trying to focus us away from the world and toward God, and how we look at the world, and how we look at things, and what our motivations are. As we look here in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 1 through 24 this morning. But the key verse is certainly verse 1, where Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." You know, it's easy to start living religion for how people see you. To live your religion in such a way that you are doing it so that you can influence what people think about you. To want to be praised for the good things that you do. To have people say, boy, he sure or she sure is a good person, right? It's very easy for us to fall into that trap to try to live our Christian lives seeking those kind of things. I want them to say this about me. I want people to know what I'm doing so that they'll talk good about me and they'll tell everybody how good I am. And while we may not say that verbally, it goes on sometimes in our minds. This is certainly a problem with the Jews in the time in which Jesus was teaching and preaching in His ministry. And Jesus makes clear that if one's religion is practiced in this way, if they are simply living their religion to be seen by men, to be praised by men, to be made to look great by men, He says they won't get anything from the Father. They will not be rewarded by their Father in heaven. In this text, Jesus gives us three examples regarding this statement in regard to how they practiced their religion in that day. And He teaches about such attitudes in our text by examining the religious actions of people that were all around them. He begins with giving. And this is verses 1 through 4. And He says that some there were sound trumpets before they gave. Oh, it was a big deal. You go to the temple, and they had these metal little chutes that you threw your money in, and there was all kinds of things that the Jews tried to do when they put their money in. Some, as He mentions here, blew horns. Literally before they gave, they blew a trumpet so everybody would look their way and see, man, look at all they're giving. Others also tried to throw their money in such a way, you know, they didn't have paper bills, they had coins. Throw their money and stuff in such a way that it hit that metal chute and all the way down, make all kinds of racket, right? Boy, he must have gave a lot. Did you hear that? And that's why they were doing it. So that people would go, wow, what a great godly man. Look at all that he gave. And yet Jesus says of such people, while others may have been standing around going, wow, look at all they gave, He said they're hypocrites. Because they walk up to that chute, they walk up there into the temple courtyard with what they're going to give. They're acting like they're there to give, to honor God, but that's not why they're there, because at heart, they're only there to get people to praise Him. I seriously doubt that anybody heard those two little mites go down that chute when the widow gave. I think Jesus is the only one that probably noticed. And yet, he said she gave more than all the others. You know, it really wasn't about how much they gave. It was about why they gave. He says that if you are giving in this way, if you want to give to have the praise of man, you blow your trumpets and you throw your money in all kinds of weird angles. If that's what you want to do, men will praise you. You will get your reward. People will go, wow, wow, what a wonderful person. But you won't get the praise of your Father in heaven. He says what we have to do is to remove self and the reward of this world and long only for the praise and the reward of God. And this happens by giving in secret to the God who gives the secret. Now he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's not even physically or mentally possible. You know, when I give and I place it in there, whether I place it in there with my right hand or my left hand, it doesn't really matter. I know what's written on that check, right? I can't hide that. My left hand's not going, hey, what are you doing over there? What are you giving? But Jesus is saying that it should be that secret, though. That it's not about for anybody else to know except for you and God, and the God that sees the secret will reward you openly. Because he is the God that sees the heart. He knows exactly why we give. For us, when we give our sacrifice, as we apply this to us today, do we make sure that people know what we did or how much we gave so that they will praise us? And it's not just what we put in the plates on Sunday morning. People go, well, I don't tell people what I put in the plate on Sunday morning. Well, that's okay. That's not all Jesus is talking about here. Anytime that you give of your time, you give of your effort, you give of yourself to help others and do that. You make sure everybody knows, so everybody will go, man, they sure help a lot of people. They're good people. If that's your motivation, then you've lost your way. I'm glad you're helping people. Make sure you're helping them for God and not just for the praise of men. Are we satisfied with the good that we have done? Simply knowing that what I've done, whether anybody else knows about it, whether anybody in this room ever knows what I did, I know God knows. And that he's honored and he's glorified by my actions, and that's enough. I don't need anyone. You know, we need to have the attitude of saying, I don't need anyone in this room to tell me that's good as long as I know God says that's good. That's enough. That's all that matters at the end of the day. Then Jesus goes on to praying in verses 5 through 15 of chapter 6. And he says, do not pray in a way that is designed to ensure that you are seen by men. Now understand, we're not talking about public prayer here in the auditorium. Okay, you're going to have to be seen to lead a public prayer, right? You're going to have to be heard. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Really, we're talking about here about personal prayer. But again, he calls those that seek to be seen and to be heard of men so that they can be praised by men. He calls them hypocrites if that's how they're praying. You know, if we look at Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, a very well-known story, Jesus says that two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And he says, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. How would you like it if Brother Pineda got up and prayed that this morning? Glad I'm not like everybody else in this room. I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and then even calling them out, or like this tax collector right over here. What if they called your name this morning and said, I'm glad I'm not like him. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes of all that I give. But I want you to note verse 11 there in Luke chapter 18 that the Pharisee stood and was praying this prayer to who? Not to God, to himself. See, God knows. God sees, doesn't he? God knew that when that man started praying, just because he might have said the words that sounded like a prayer, God said he wasn't praying to me, he was praying to himself. This was all about him. This was all about what people heard and would find out and think about him. This is an example of what Jesus gives of what he is talking about in this text in Matthew chapter 6. Notice in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. They were seeking places where people would be, the street corner. You know, we used to have the street corner preachers, right? Because people would be walking by the street corners, the synagogues, where certainly there would be people. They seek to find those places where people are. They stand in the middle of them so that everybody can see them, just like the Pharisees stood there in the middle of the temple. And they pray in order to be praised by men and seen by men and praised by them. Jesus makes clear that they will receive the praise they seek. It's not hard to get people to praise you. That's not a hard thing to do. Jesus says, if that's what you want, you'll find a way to get it. Jesus calls for us to pray with our focus on God. To not pray thinking about what men think or about what men would say. Jesus also talks about using repetition and many words as if that makes the prayer better. Folks, God does not need an explanation about how He does things. He knows better than we know how to ask, Jesus says. He doesn't need for us to... I've heard prayers where they told God what the room number of the sick person was at the hospital. Lord, you know they're in room 606. I kid you not. So that wasn't for God. That was for other people. God doesn't need those things. He doesn't need many words. He doesn't need repetition. You know, applying what Jesus is saying here today for us is to remember some things. We need to remember some things when we pray. Our personal prayer life to God should remain just that. Personal. And private. Don't need to be telling everybody how much you pray. It's between you and God. Jesus uses the idea of go into your closet, right, and shut the door. He's not literally commanding us there to pray in closets. But it's not anybody else's business. It's a private thing. I've had job interviews before with churches, and they've asked me, how often do you pray? I won't answer that question. That's not their business. I'm not looking for their approval of the number of times I pray. And to do so or to seek such, I believe, would be, in my conscientiously for me, would be in violation of what Jesus is asking here. And so we need to keep our prayer lives that, between us and God. We also do not need to focus a prayer on people. And this comes into the public arena as we are up here leading prayers. We do not need to pray prayers to impress people. Worry about whether we say things that are flowery and all sophisticated so that people are impressed, that's the wrong motivation. The best prayer I ever heard was from a young man that had Down syndrome, and it didn't have any fancy words. But oh my, was it from the heart and bring tears to your eyes. And he wasn't trying to impress. We do not need to lead prayers focused on teaching people. Prayer is not a tool of teaching. It is our speaking to God. We do not need to come up here and to lead a prayer to make a point to someone in the audience. Because at the point that we do these things, we're not praying to God, we're praying to someone out there. If I'm trying to teach you, I'm not praying to God, I'm praying to you. If I'm trying to make a point to you, I'm not praying to God, I'm praying to you. And prayer is to be to God. If we do those things, we can be in danger of being the hypocrites that Jesus talks about here, because we are acting as if we are praying to God when in reality we are praying to someone else. We are, as the Pharisee, praying to ourselves. Jesus goes on in this text to teach them to pray the model prayer. Sometimes people call it the Lord's Prayer. But if you notice that prayer, and it could be a sermon all in of itself, but that prayer is God-focused, every bit of it. Focused on me having God's purposes. His kingdom come. That's not a problem for us today. That, you know, sometimes we get caught up, yes, the kingdom has come, we are in the kingdom, but that's not even what Jesus is really talking about when he says his kingdom come. We do, and we should pray that God's kingdom come in this world. God's kingdom is God's rule. Anybody want that to come into our world? God's rule, that it might come into everyone's lives, that he might rule them, that Jesus might be their Lord, their King. So it's having God's purposes, His rule to come into this world. It's focused on me trusting God's provision, that God will take care of me, that I have faith that God takes care of me. And He's going to talk about that later in chapter 6. Give us this day our daily bread, right? I believe, God, You'll do that. See, it's God-focused. That it's focused on me being like God. It concludes with forgiving others as I've been forgiven, right? If I want to be like God, I have to be a forgiving person. We've already seen that, and blessed are the merciful, right? And so I seek to be like God by forgiving others as I myself need to be forgiven. Forgive others that don't deserve it, because I sure didn't deserve God forgiving me. It's God-focused. It's a God-focused prayer. Prayer is about God, or it's not pleasing to Him. Third thing that Jesus talks about, religious act that Jesus talks about, is fasting, verses 60 through 18. Now, we don't do a lot of fasting. You can tell from the way my suit fits right now that I haven't been fasting as nearly as much as I need to. But fasting is a time given to focusing on God, a time in which a person would forego certain meals to sacrifice that time or give that time that they would use for this meal or that meal or a number of meals, that they'll give that time instead to the study and prayer, study of God and prayer to Him. It's a noble thing. While not commanded, certainly is not a practice to be scoffed at for us today, to give time to God in our busy lives, to take things out and say, I'm going to give this time to Him. I promise you, it won't kill any of us to miss a meal. You know, some in Jesus' time would fast. Oh, but they would make certain you knew they were fasting. They'd mess up their hair. They'd look like this. Oh, pitiful. Oh, they might even groan when they walk. Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm fasting for God. Oh, you're such a good man. How long have you been going? I missed one meal. No, you know, I don't know. But they put on a show. They made sure that everybody knew exactly what they were doing. And Jesus says, that's not it. They're hypocrites. Because they act like they're doing it for God, but they're actually just doing it to get somebody to go, what's wrong with you? Oh, you're so wonderful. It's the wrong motivation. We need to give ourselves to God. But when we serve God, we should not be making certain that everyone notices how difficult it is for us to serve so that people will be impressed. We serve God, and we do so for the sole purpose of God and His approval. You may work really hard in the Lord's church, and I hope and pray that you do. And I may not know about it, and that's just fine, because that probably means you're doing it for the right reasons. But I have known brethren that every time they talked to anybody, visited anybody, helped anybody, they made certain everybody knew they did it. I knew one man when I was growing up that in Bible class he'd always have to start any, he'd always have a comment. Then he'd go, yeah, well, I went and I visited so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And it made me think the other day. But he always got in there what he did so that everybody knew. It was irrelevant to the comment. But he wanted people to see what he was doing. You know, sometimes we use then, as we go on past that, we use verses 19 through 21 by themselves, but they are still on the same subject of what Jesus has been teaching to this point. When he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, this is the summary for this principle. This is the summary for the principle that Jesus has been teaching concerning giving and prayer and fasting up to this point. That seeking the approval and admiration and the praise of men for what we do is to have treasure centered on earthly things. These are earthly desires. To have men praise me is an earthly desire. It is to be getting ahead in this earthly existence by the means of men, not by the means of God. Contextually, this would have been other men here, but their praise and their approval is what is being sought. It is the treasure. That's where their heart is. That's their treasure. Their treasure is the praise of men, going all the way back to verse 1. And he says, that's not going to last, is it? I've had people tell me, oh, Nathan, you're such a good preacher, and then the next week they're trying to get me fired. It doesn't last. You know, I mean, the praise of men can come and go in a heartbeat, can it not? And it certainly doesn't last into eternity. It doesn't matter what you think about me. When I stand before Jesus Christ one day, it doesn't matter whether Robert thinks I'm a great guy or Johnny thinks I'm a great guy. It only matters what Jesus thinks I am. Johnny can't go, wait a minute, Lord, don't send him to hell. He's a great guy. The praise of men means nothing in the eternal things. It's where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. It comes and goes. It's temporal like this world. But the praise of God, that gets me through into eternity, doesn't it? That takes me further. That gets me into heaven one day, having His approval, His praise. And that's what we should. It's about understanding what's best and what's most important and putting our focus there. We want our children to focus on important things, right? We try to direct them in the things that are important, and yet sometimes we forget that in our own spiritual lives. That this is the most important thing, God's praise. Jesus is dealing with our focus and with what is most important in our lives, what drives our actions. Is it God or is it men? Do I sit and worry as much about what God thinks about what I'm doing as I do about what somebody at work or somebody I know or some friend I have, that what they're going to say about what I'm doing? I hope you spend a whole lot more time thinking about what God thinks about it. Because what your friend or anybody at work thinks about it is irrelevant. And it's not going to get you into heaven. Verses 22 through 23 is talking about, he talks about the eyes. He's talking about how we look at the world. What is my vision like? How do I see the world? When I look out to the world, do I see wealth and cars and power and prestige? Or do I see souls that my precious Lord died for? A purpose of God that His kingdom might come into the lives of all men. You know, we need to see that. We need to be focused on that. That our vision is on God's things, on heavenly things, and not on the earthly things that will not last. If we have the right vision, it says, our life will be full of light. It will be full of light, the light of God and the light of His truth. But if we do not have a vision that is focused on God, our life, He says, is going to be full of darkness. If I'm focused on worldly things, darkness is surely going to be a part of my life. And such only leads people into terrible darkness, in fact, Jesus says. You know, when we are willing to compromise truth for this world, when somebody we know is going to get upset at us because of where we stand on some issue that's going on in our society, and we know where God stands. God's not ambiguous about many of these things that we're having to stand on these days, and we must stand on these days. But sometimes, you know, well, I have a friend, and they're not going to be my friend anymore if I don't think this way, because they'll say I'm a hateful bigot, and so I'm just not going to say anything, or I'm just going to kind of say, well, it's probably okay. You're filling your life with darkness. You got your eyes, your vision set on the wrong things. In such things, we will only find darkness. We think about people's selfishness. And to an extent, when we think about these kind of things, and all, you know, whether it is that we won't speak because we're afraid people get mad at us, that's still a selfish thing. I don't want to suffer the difficulty of somebody being mad at me. So it's selfish. And when we think about selfishness, seeking the desires of men, and really, selfishness is seeking the desires of men, except it's seeking the desires of one particular man, right? Me. If what I do is only seeking to please me, then it's the same thing that Jesus is talking about in trying to get the approval of others. Now I'm just trying to get the approval of me. What I want. What I desire. What I like. What I will praise. Such things. Such selfishness leads to murder. Such selfishness leads to stealing. I should have that. Why can't that be mine? Mistreatment. Well, I'm the only one that really matters. How I treat you or what you're going through doesn't really matter at all. See how dark that can get? It leads to lives with no love, no compassion, no mercy. It is dark indeed. Verse 24, Jesus finishes up and says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. You know, this is the heart of what Jesus is teaching about in this text. You cannot be focused on God and the world. They are mutually exclusive. The world is trying to take you away from God. God is trying to take you away from the world. You can't go both ways. Do you know it's impossible to look someone in the eyes? Here's a weird one, Johnny. You know, you're looking your lovely wife in the eyes. That's impossible. You look your lovely wife in the eye. Because you can't look in both of them at the same time. Try it. You got to choose one or the other. Right or left, whichever one's prettier. But you can only look your loved one in the eye. So say it right, okay? But try that. You can't do it. It's impossible. This is as impossible as it is to serve two masters. To serve the world and to serve God. God calls you to be opposite of the world. How can you possibly be hanging out over there focused on that when you're called to be everything that is? Or called to be everything that's not, rather. You must choose what you will focus on. What will be your priority over all else? God or man? The praise of men or the praise of God? That's the question Jesus asks in this text. What's most important to you? Where's your treasure? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be too. In the last chapter, we talked about heart, didn't we? And what we do comes from our heart. So if your heart is seeking the treasure of men's praise, you're going to do the things of the world. But if your heart is seeking the treasure of God's praise, then you will do the things of God. Because that's your treasure and that's where your heart is at all times. So this morning the question is for us, where is your treasure? Consequently then, where is your heart? Is your treasure found in God's approval or in men's approval? Do you love and long for this world, or do you love and long for the heaven that God has waiting for you? This morning, we hope and we pray that if you have not, that you will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want you to do that to please any man or person here or anywhere in your life, but to please the God that loves you and to please the God that sent His only Son to die for you. He will reward you for your obedience and your service to Him. Whether this world ever praises you or not, He will. And God will reward those focused on Him. Is that your treasure? Is God's approval, God's praise, is that your treasure this morning? Is that where your heart is this morning? Then act today. Be transformed in obedience to God today. And become like Him in your life and stop seeking to be like the world that He calls you out of today. You cannot serve both. Choose this morning which you will serve as we stand and as we sing. Who at the door is standing?